Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to the studios of Sri Satya Sai Media Center, Prashantiniliam, the abode of eternal peace. A warm and loving Sairam to all of you, and a very beautiful morning on this holy, auspicious, and a wonderful Thursday. Welcome to another beautiful series of Thursday live sessions from the Sri Satya Sai Media Center on the Asia stream of Radio Sai. And dear listeners, at the outset, we shall all collectively offer a beautiful prayer at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan, our most dearest Mother Sai. O Lord, take my love and let it flow in fullness of devotion to Thee. O Lord, take my hands and let them work incessantly for Thee. O Lord, take my soul and let it be merged in one with Thee. O Lord, take my mind and thoughts and let them be in tune with Thee. O Lord, take my everything and let me be an instrument to work for Thee. This beautiful prayer that Bhagwan had written to his children is a prayer that each and every one of us should be praying for and asking of the Lord. Swami, please make us humble flutes in your divine hands. So dear listeners, with these beautiful thoughts, with these beautiful words of prayer, we shall commence this Thursday's live session in the Asia stream of the Sri Satya Sai Media Center. Let us all start with a beautiful story. Let me narrate to you a wonderful story. A mighty king was marching home after triumphant victory in a gruesome battle. He had slain the ruler of the neighboring kingdom and had captured their own crown prince too. The army on its way back passed through a dense jungle. As it was eventide, the army decided to halt for the day and began to set up camp. Close by in the forest was a hermitage, the abode of a famed sage and his disciples. Deciding to pay his respects to the sage, the king sent his minister and soldiers to the hermitage, directing them to seek an audience with the holy man. "Maharaj wants to meet the sage," they told the disciples there. The disciples, however, requested them to come the next day, saying, "Guruji has retired for the day. Please come tomorrow." The next morning, the king went to the hermitage, attired in his regal paraphernalia and accompanied by his retinue of ministers and attendants. The sage was sitting under a tree, scattering millet seeds. All around him were hundreds of birds of different kinds, pecking at the seeds and filling the air with the music of their twittering. The king walked up to the sage, whose attention remained on his birds. "Pranam, Guruji," the king said. There was no answer from the sage. The king then raised his voice. "Pranam, Guruji." Still no answer. "Guruji, I said pranam," the king said in an angry voice. The sage looked up and said, "Stop shouting. You are frightening the birds away." That made the king even more furious. "Do you know who I am?" he yelled. The sage said calmly, "Yes, I do. You are the one who kills for the love of power. You are the one who knows not that this power is temporary. One day, another king shall kill you in the same way. Your love for power shall bring about your downfall." The king was beside himself with rage. He said, "Your impertinence is intolerable. I shall kill you right now." He drew out his sword and raised it to strike the sage. In an instant, hundreds of birds flew from all sides and attacked the king. They flapped their wings vigorously and fearlessly on his face, jabbed at his arms, and pecked at his legs and the body. Desperate king failed. His arms flayed his arms up and around to ward off the fowls, which had suddenly become ferocious and dauntless. But the birds wouldn't leave him. Finally, the sage called out, "Leave him, leave him. Come to me, my dears." All at once, the birds quietened down and sat meekly at the feet of the sage. The sage then said in a grave voice, a voice which commanded authority and spoke of his great wisdom, "All I ever gave these birds is love. O king, realize the power of that love. Conversely, the love of power has blinded you and brought you to the level of a killer. These birds would have killed you, a reflection of your own misdeeds, had it not been that they love me. I rule over them like a king too, but only power I exercise over them is the power of love, and that is the greatest power on this earth." This story's potent affirmation has been reiterated innumerable number of times by Bhagwan, who constantly exhorts us to foster love. In one of his discourses on November 23, 1996, Swami said, and I quote, "Transform your entire life into a saga of love. You will then lack nothing to make you happy. All wealth and position will be added unto you, for love conquers all." But what exactly is this love that Swami is referring to? And he has himself explained, pure, unselfish love towards all beings, considered as embodiments of the divine with no expectation of reward, is true love. And I end quote. And then happiness will come in the same measure as your love for God. Dear listeners, let me complete my introduction of today's Thursday Live with a beautiful letter that Swami had written to all the boys. This letter, this message is not only for the boys, but to each and every individual, each and every person, the entire humanity. When knowledge, technology, everything is at its own pace, running away from us, and we are running behind it, it's now time for us to stop, stay still, stay calm, and think about the person who is next to us. Try to help. Try to lend a helping hand to the person who needs help. And this letter of Swami must be a guiding letter, a guidepost to all of us. Let us all go through this wonderful letter. To all the boys in the hostel, how are you? You are very happy because I am not there. No, no, no. I am here, there, and everywhere. Swami is love. Love is Swami. Therefore, love is there. There are two kinds of love, personal and impersonal. Personal love relates to the physical part of the being, while the impersonal relates to the spiritual. Life is intended for the practice of impersonal love. When this love is revealed in your heart, you would realize the wonderful universal truth, the spirit of existence, which is called God. To devote yourself to Swamiji in order to realize Him means shedding your individual sense and knowing that you are the universal truth and spirit. This is possible only when you transcend the individual sense or the ego sense in you. The ego sense is the cause of your unhappiness, bondage, and misery in the world. Sai Krishna, through Gita, has asked you to surrender yourself to the divine completely and be free from the ego sense. When the ego sense is eliminated, you shall have universal vision, and based on that vision, you love all alike. God is love, and He dwells in love. In one who dwells in God, God dwells in him. God as love is dwelling in your hearts, and therefore the kingdom of heaven is within you. When you realize this truth in the freshness and beauty of the immortal spirit, your life will sing the music of love. With blessings, Baba. 11th July 1972. The listeners, with these beautiful thoughts, I take leave of you and hand over the stage to Brother Prem for his triune pilgrimage of the journey through the Bhagavad Gita. Let us all remember to realize that spark of love, Bhagwan, who is present in each and every one of our hearts as that pure, unsullied, divine love. Let us all pray to Him that He grants us the vision of that wonderful, serene love.
Oh,